Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython biweekly meeting for October 6th, 2025. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. My name is Tim, and I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that is designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. The development for CircuitPython is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you would like to help support CircuitPython and Adafruit, please consider purchasing hardware from them at adafruit.com. This meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join that at any time by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel as well as the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens every other Monday. Right now, we're still in the bi-weekly schedule, so every other Monday at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific, except when that coincides with a U.S. holiday, in which case we usually will bump it to Tuesday, or occasionally we'll just skip that week. In the notes doc, there is a link to a calendar, which you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also try to send out notifications to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord whenever there's going to be a change to the day or time of the meeting. So if you would like to get updates on that via Discord, then just ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role, the same one that you need in order to speak in the meeting. There is a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to that document beforehand. The final notes document will include timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use that to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. Meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes, depending on how many folks we have. After each meeting, we post a link for the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython dev channel on the Adafruit Discord. You can always check the pinned messages in the CircuitPython dev channel to find the link to the latest notes doc, and you can add notes and hug reports to that throughout the week or 2 week period as it is currently. The meeting gets held in five parts. We'll do community news first, a look at all things CircuitPython and Python on hardware from the community, a chosen set of items out of the weekly newsletter. Then we'll get into the state of CircuitPython, the libraries in Blinka, check out some stats from the repositories that make up the project. Then we will get into hug reports, the first of our two round robins, where we can take a moment to recognize folks who have done cool stuff in the community and beyond. And then status updates, again, another round robin. We'll go around the room, so to speak, or down the list as they appear in the notes doc. Everyone has a chance to talk for a couple minutes about what you've been working on and what you'll be up to over the next couple of weeks until the next meeting. Then we have In the Weeds, where there is an opportunity for some more long-form discussion. Those can either come out of status updates topics or be identified ahead of time. So if anyone's got In the Weeds topics that you know of already, or if you happen to think of them during the meeting, go ahead and scroll your way down to the Weeds section of the document and just put a little bullet point there with your name and what you would like to talk about. And then when the time comes, host will call on you, or if you're text only, then we'll read through whatever you've got and we can discuss as needed. And with that, we will get started with community news first. I'll take a timestamp and one more for this item. So first up in community news this week is CircuitPython 10.0.0 has been released. CircuitPython 10.0.0 is the latest major release of CircuitPython and is a new stable release. Many changes and additions in audio, graphics, SSL certificates use, SD card handling, and more are included in this release. There are links to the Adafruit blog as well as GitHub if you would like to check out the full release notes. Next up in the newsletter, we had another new version launching. The new Raspberry Pi OS Trixie was launched as well, with a new version of Debian Linux. New version of Debian Linux comes another major release of Raspberry Pi OS, which is based on Debian. Support for 64-bit time means the Earth will be dust before the date will roll over. So you don't have to worry about that particular problem anymore. The release has a new theme with a new default font. Configuration is simplified in a new Control Center application, and there are links here to Raspberry Pi News and Raspberry Pi website. Hopefully that was not too loud, as some things just came crashing down off of my desk. But I will power ahead and take the next timestamp. We have also, from the newsletter this week, an article post about contributing to the CircuitPython community bundle. Mike Coates, a community member, writes about the process of contributing software drivers for CircuitPython collected into the CircuitPython community bundle. This was a great blog post that was featured in the newsletter. This person sort of wrote about their experience adding a new driver to the community bundle. I thought it was really cool that they documented not only the driver that they were working on, but sort of like meta the process of making that driver and getting the repository set up and getting it submitted to the community bundle. So that was really cool. Take a look at that if that sounds interesting to you. Next up, we have a special needs CircuitPython project won the Bay Area Maker Faire 2025 Editor's Choice Award. Adafruit Forms member E. Cobra, or Michael Caddy, my apologies, I don't know if that's the correct way to pronounce their name. They note their recognition at the Bay Area Maker Faire 2025, focusing on AAC communication aids. There are links here to the Adafruit Forms, the official website for this project, tssfaa.com, and to GitHub repository with all the code and other files for the project. And it says here about the project, the system is based on an RP2350 with I2S sound output and I2C and or SPI display and a set of input devices. Right now, it's using an MSP430FR chip as an I/O expander, which will be removed when we go over to the RP2350B chip. Everything was first prototyped and tested using Adafruit parts, and all the coding will be in CircuitPython after we move over to the RP2350B. Really cool project. I would encourage everyone, if you haven't seen this, I think it was pasted in the Adafruit forms. Yeah, that's where the link is too. If you haven't caught that, definitely read up on it. Really cool. Really cool project, and really inspiring to see folks using CircuitPython for such neat stuff. And lastly is project of the week this week from the newsletter was a remote shutter button for the Adafruit Memento with ESP Now. Airplane Journal on GitHub has created a remote shutter control for the CircuitPython-based cameras like the Adafruit Memento. The remote communicates to the camera using the ESP Now protocol. So this was another really cool project this week that uses a TFT feather, reverse feather, I should say, to trigger the Adafruit Memento there, like it says, little remote for the camera, which is really cool. So again, check that out if you haven't. And all of these items, as well as many, 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 many more, came from the newsletter. Seriously, I had to kind of try pretty hard to stop myself from just continuing to add new stuff this week, because there were so many cool things in the newsletter this week. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely do that. All these items did come from the Python on Microcontrollers weekly newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter that's emailed every Monday. The complete archives are at adafruitdaily.com. It highlights the latest on Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. If you'd like to contribute your own news or projects, you can edit next week's draft on GitHub, submitting a pull request with your changes. Or if you'd like, you can also email cpnews@adafruit.com or tag a post with hashtag CircuitPython on Mastodon, Blue Sky, or X. And as always, thank you to Anne for pulling all of the wonderful items together and everything involved with publishing the newsletter. Next up is the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It gives us a chance to look at the health of the project, separate from our status updates. First, we'll talk about the project overall, and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. And I have pulled out stats from the last 2 weeks, so I have them. I didn't bother compiling them together, so I just have them listed out as the two separate weeks. You can see there in the notes doc if you're looking at that. So I will read the overall stats for both last week and for this week. So the week of September 29th, we had 21 pull requests merged overall by 15 authors. So really cool to see high numbers on both of those. There were several names here that stuck out to me as newer or less frequent, you know, names that I don't see necessarily from week to week in this list. Or perhaps I just, you know, maybe they missed my eye before, but those names this week, again, might be newer or less frequent contributors. And I should say not this week, but again, this is September 29th, the week of that. Brandon Hurst, V. Doom, Dragon X, C. Darius, James Bowman, Gotham 103, I think is how that's probably pronounced. Anne Miuev, probably mispronounced that one, my apologies. And Plia Makaka as well. Again, apologies if I did not pronounce that one correctly either. So thank you to those folks, as well as the other names in this list who I do recognize as being in these lists from week to week more frequently. We had 6 reviewers as well, and that looks like mostly the usual suspects. Thanks to everyone for getting in reviews a couple weeks ago. There were 5 issues closed that week by 3 people, with 5 new issues opened up by 4 people. And that gets us now to this week, the week of October 6th today. So for this week's stats, we had 17 pull requests merged overall by 11 different authors. A couple of new names again this week that caught my eye were Ren Murakami, Spridget, Arturo 182, EDW Baker. So again, thanks to those folks, as well as our other more frequent contributors who appear in this list. And we had 3 reviewers, thanks to them. We had, issues-wise, 8 issues closed by 4 different people, with 4 new issues opened up by 4 people. And that is it for overall. Next up, I will see if Dan is available to tell us about the core.
Yep, sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're a little low if you have access to a volume.
Okay, let me check. Hold on.
Perfect, yeah.
How is that?
That is good. Even I'm maybe a little bit too far, but good either
way. Okay, there. Okay.
Yep, very good.
All right. Okay. So for the core, week before last, we had 8 pull requests merged by 7 authors and 2 reviewers. That's in the CircuitPython core. And then last week, 2 pull requests merged, both by me and reviewed by you, Tim, and Scott. And we've now got 23 open pull requests. Those 2 pull requests were the last ones we needed to release 10.0 final, which I'll talk about later. And there was 1 issue closed by 1 person and 1 opened by 1 person. But that's just in the past week. And we've got about 800 open issues right now. We closed the 10.0.0 milestone. We keep track of what to do when by milestones. And since we released 10.0.0, that milestone is done. So we have a 10.0x milestone for some things that we probably want to fix pretty soon, some crashes. And then we've got almost 80 issues that we'd like to fix for 10xx, and we'll probably try to triage those in the near future. We've got 8 issues for 11.0.0. Those are things we're holding off because their changes are major, incompatible changes are major changes we want to make for 11. I should get rid of the 9.2x milestone also because we're not maintaining 9.2 anymore. And we've got 16 issues for libraries, almost about 650 for long-term, and then a few other categories. So that is it for the core.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Next up, I will tell you about the libraries. This covers all of the CircuitPython Adafruit libraries, which are in the Adafruit bundle, and the community bundle has got some stats represented in here as well. So this is the Python layer of code that you can use on your CircuitPython devices. For the week before last, the week of September 29th, we had 6 pull requests merged by 3 different authors and 5 reviewers. And then for this week, or last week, I should say, the week ending today, October 6th. We had, so overall stats first, in the Adafruit bundle currently we have 376 libraries, and in the community bundle there are 169 for a total combined of 545 libraries currently that support CircuitPython across those two different bundles. Over the past week in the Adafruit bundle, we had 14 pull requests merged by 10 different authors. Again, thanks to those folks I mentioned before, who may have been newer or less frequent contributors. Also, thanks to our folks that appear more frequently in these lists. Your help is also very much appreciated. We had 3 reviewers. And of the merged pull requests, the oldest one was actually getting up there at 287 days, and there were a handful of others that were a month or older. I did a sweep towards the end of last week where I went back through and merged a bunch of these, so that's where some of the older ones came from this week. And on the new end of the spectrum, we are down at just one day like usual for the newest PRs that were merged. That leaves us at the end of the previous 7 days with 52 pull requests open. The oldest one of those is a draft that is 1,145 days old. The newest one is 1 day old. Issues-wise, we had 6 issues closed by 4 people, 2 new issues opened up by 2 people, leaving us with 741 open issues, and 2 of them currently are labeled as good first issues, which you could find listed over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is where you should go if you're interested in getting involved in the CircuitPython project. The first place that we tend to point folks who want to get involved is on the list of open PRs, which is what you'll see when you load that page, circuitpython.org/contributing. You can look through that list, find anything that is interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub. That's going to take you to an opened PR that is waiting for a person to leave a review, and that could be you if you are interested in being involved in the project. So that entails essentially looking over the changes that are proposed in that PR. If you have the hardware, you can test it. Otherwise, you can look at the code for syntax, spelling, logic, anything like that. Leave a comment on GitHub letting us know that you looked it over and what you found. If you did have hardware and were able to test it out, also include that in your comment, you know, that you tested it, like what firmware version you used and how it went. Once you get comfortable with that process, if you would like to get leveled up to leave official reviews on GitHub, we can work with you to make that possible. And then if you would like to start getting your hands dirty writing some of your own code and submitting it, also on circuitpython.org/contributing, if you look near the top, there's navigation. If you click over to the issues, you're going to see a similar looking list of links to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. They don't have a proposed change yet, so they're waiting for a person to come along who's interested in actually making that change and proposing a PR out of it. So again, that could be you if you want to get involved. You can go through that list. Again, look for something that you have an interest in or that you've got the hardware for. Click through to GitHub, read about what the issue is, and then code up a solution to it. You know, whether that's solving a bug or adding a new feature or a new example or something like that, and then submit a PR with those changes. We do have Learn Guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help out on Discord. So if you are trying to review or trying to submit your own PR and you're having trouble with version control or GitHub or the actions or anything like that, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to and what kind of issue you're having, and we'd be happy to help you out. We do want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works best for them. So next up, I will tell you about Blinka. Let me take another timestamp here. So Blinka is the compatibility layer that allows CircuitPython libraries to be used with single board computers like Raspberry Pis and similar devices, as well as with MicroPython devices. Oh, I didn't know that collapsed. Interesting. For the week of September 29th, there were 7 pull requests merged by 5 different authors with 1 reviewer. And then for this week, or the week ending today, there was 1 pull request merged with 1 reviewer. And that leaves us right now with 14 pull requests open. Over the past 7 days, issues-wise, there was 1 issue closed by 1 person, 1 new issue opened up by 1 person. And there are currently 132 open issues across the Blinka libraries, or perhaps just the main Blinka library. I'm not sure if that covers all of them. And there are 165 boards that are currently supported by the Blinka compatibility layer. And with that, we will get into Hug Reports. As a reminder, Hug Reports has a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start, then we'll go down the list as folks appear in the notes doc. If you are text only or missing the meeting, then I'll read the notes when we get to your name in the list. So I will get us kicked off. Take a few timestamps accidentally. Hug Reports for me this week. Thanks to Dan and Scott for working through the final issues and getting 10.0 released, as well as everyone else who contributed, tested, and reported issues to make it possible. Also, thanks to Scott for discussions, review, and guidance on the refactoring work that I have been doing in Adafruit Register. Very much appreciated. Thank you to Yano on Discord for sharing a link with me to some little mounting posts that serve a purpose that I was kind of musing about or wondering about on my stream a couple of weeks back. Really appreciate the pointer there. And lastly, thanks to Gordy G for making some bitmap assets for me to use in the logic gate simulator that I am working on. I'll talk more about a bit later, so thanks to them. Next up, I will turn it over to Dan for Hug Reports.
Okay, thanks to Scott, who did bug triage with me several times in the past few weeks to get the 10.0 release out, and also for his support in talking through multiple times the last couple of USB SD card mounting bugs, which were sort of complicated to get the semantics of what we wanted right. And thanks to you, Tim, for all the fruit jam fixes over the past several weeks, making this a really excellent piece of hardware and software. And thanks to everyone who contributed to the 10.0.0 release. There are dozens and dozens of people. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Next up in rounding out the Hug Reports is Scott. I'll read for him. Scott says, a Hug Report for me for refactoring the register library to support multiple ways of reading and writing registers, and a Hug Report for Thatch for testing the IDF changes with Tiny USB. So thanks to Scott for leaving some Hug Reports for us. And next up, we will get into the status updates. As a reminder, status updates is our time to tell folks what we have been up to individually. I'll start again, then we'll go down the list as they appear in the notes doc. When it is your turn, you can take a couple minutes to tell us about what you've been doing since the last meeting and what you're going to get up to until the next meeting. We can always move discussions to in the weeds if we need to, and that is how status reports will go. I'll take the first timestamp and get us started. For me, I have been working on the Fruit Jam Logic Gate Simulator. The core sort of logic functionality of all the gates is working, as well as moving entities with the mouse. The next couple of things that I have planned to work on are allowing the user to place new entities. Right now, they're just kind of hard-coded in the code. Adding some basic keyboard controls, which I actually started a few of this morning. Adding the ability to integrate with physical buttons and NeoPixels, which I actually did the NeoPixels this morning as well. So physical buttons is up next. And then possibly rework the wire entity to be more flexible and just generally better. I don't really like the way I did it the first time, but it will depend on how long the rest of the stuff takes because it is functional how it is. So worst case scenario, it will work. And then, of course, after all that, I will write the learn guide for this project as well. Other than that, the logic gate simulator, the other stuff I've been up to is refactoring the register library, like mentioned before, to add support for SPI registers. That has been merged, and there are PRs that have been updated and cleaned up in the BMP5X and SPA003 libraries that add SPI support to those libraries. Those launched as I2C only, and this work in the register library allows them now to support SPI, which is really cool. I did briefly also try a UART implementation, but was not successful with that. And kind of tabled it. I will circle back to it at some point, but it's not super high on the priorities list. And then the other thing that I did a bit last week was write some scripts to ingest the core stubs, as well as Python examples that exist inside of the doc strings in the core. Writing scripts to ingest that stuff for use with RAG or retrieval, is it retrieval augmented generation? I think that stands for. This is all kind of in search of making LLMs a bit better at writing CircuitPython specific code and answers. So next couple of things on my mind to try there are to actually test these results. So far, I've written the code to kind of pull this stuff out, but haven't actually fed it into the RAG system yet. And then I also am going to experiment a bit with hooking up CircuitPy drive writing as well as serial console reading into MCP servers so that the LLM would actually be able to code and debug live on a connected CircuitPython device, which will be, I think, a fun sort of workflow. And that is what I've got. So I will pass it over to Dan next.
Okay, so as mentioned several times already, I released CircuitPython 10.0.0 final last week after one day of release candidate 0. There weren't any changes between release candidate 0 and 10.0 final. And so far, we haven't had any screams of agony from anybody. It seems to be working well. We encourage everybody to try it and file those issues so that we can get things fixed as soon as possible. In order to support that release, on ESP32 S2 and S3 boards that had 4 megabytes of flash, it's necessary to update the bootloader, the TinyUF2 bootloader. So there are multiple ways to do that. It's described in the factory reset and bootloader update pages and the guides for those boards. But an even easier way is to use the open installer button in CircuitPython.org. So I added some stuff to the factory reset pages to point to the open installer guide and say, this is the first choice. Someone already made some comment, which implied that they found that successful and they had some questions about why are we even bothering with TinyUF2 if we have open installer? But there are many answers to that question. Over the weekend, I fixed one 10.0 bug for 10.0x having to do with the collections.deck class, so you could subclass it. And my intention now is to look at the other 10.0x issues and all the 10xx issues. There are about 80 of them, and triage them. There may be a number of them that were already fixed or something like that, and want to see what kind of work there really is ahead of us for the rest of 10xx here. And once I do like an initial pass, I'll probably do a triage with Scott too, so we can further prioritize them. And that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And next up, rounding out the status updates this week is Scott, who's out. So I'll read. Scott says that he will be out from the 8th through the 15th. So I think he's working maybe today and tomorrow, and then he's taking vacation for about a week. So he'll be back after that. So if anyone needs him for anything, you got basically one more day. Otherwise, you'll be waiting until after the 15th. He also says slowly debugging IDF 5.5.1 update. That is it for status updates. Next up would be in the weeds if we had any topics, but there are none currently in the document, so we're going to skip past that one and get straight into the wrap-up. Excuse me. So this has been CircuitPython Weekly for October 6th, 2025. Thank you to everyone who participated. If you would like to support Adafruit and CircuitPython and those of us that work on CircuitPython project, consider purchasing hardware from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will get released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also get featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter. You can visit adafruitdaily.com if you'd like to subscribe to that, which you should. The next meeting, we're still on the two-week schedule for meetings, so the next meeting is going to be on the 20th of October. That's a Monday, 2 weeks from today, October 20th, 2025, and we will be at the normal time of 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Again, that'll be Monday, October 20th for the next meeting. We'll be here on Discord, as we always are, inside CircuitPython Dev channel in the CircuitPython voice channel. If you want to join the Discord, you can do that anytime at adafru.it/discord. If you would like to be notified about changes to the meeting, day or time, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. So that's it for this meeting. Thank you to everyone who participated, and we will see you all in a couple of weeks. Thanks.